You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Steeter.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Thursday, June 25th, 2014. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Sven Beckert, historian from Harvard University, on his book, Empire of Cotton. Also on the program today, you can hear it in my voice, ladies and gentlemen, King V. Burwell decided 6-3 in favor of sanity and obviousness, and in keeping millions from losing their health insurance. Also on the program today, disparate impact. A cornerstone of civil rights legislation, including the Fair Housing Act, has been preserved by the Supreme Court at a five to four vote. In the Texas Housing versus Inclusive Communities Project case. Also on the program today, Dems introduce a very strong piece of voting rights legislation. It won't go anywhere, but good to see that they have responded to the fact that the Republicans aren't going to compromise with them anyway, so they might as well actually ask for what is needed. Bobby Jindal's announcement video still creeping me out, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Webb coming back to creep me out in a new way. Bernie Sanders is scaring the Clinton campaign. And Claire McCaskill makes that announcement on Morning Joe this morning. She might as well have just like come out with a sign. All that and more on today's program. Folks, I am giddy both because of King V. Burwell this morning and because I've been trolling Dave Broom. I don't know who he is. He's one of the executive producers of The Briefcase. A couple of weeks ago, I don't know when it was, we spent a considerable amount of time talking about how exploitive and disgusting that show was. It's basically where they find some very some folks who are under incredible financial stress, and they give them $100,000, but they say you can give this away to another family that's even worse shape than you are. And it really is, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can come up with a couple other scenarios to make it really clear what's going on here. There's a starving person. Here's a plate of food. There's another person who's starving, but they also have an open wound. Are you going to give them that food? You start to get the notion of what's going on here, right? And I guess this guy, somebody tweeted to me that he had tweeted out, do you think the show is exploitive? Or do you think it's real and emotional? Now, of course, those two things aren't mutually exclusive. And so I told him that. It's real and emotional and horribly exploitive. And so I've been trying to get under his skin, and I don't think I've quite gotten there. But between that and seeing Antonin Scalia cry, I don't think he actually cried. But apparently what I've been told is that his descent, you can actually see teardrops, like the paper has been raised. So we will get into all of that. But first, we're going to talk to Sven Beckert. He is a professor of history at Harvard University and has a fascinating book using cotton as a case study for what really drives our capitalism, I think. I think that's a fair assessment, but let's ask him. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. Folks, don't forget, give us a good iTunes review. We really need it. I appreciate it. We'll be right back. We are back, folks. Sorry that we had a little scheduling snafu, I guess. That happens, but we got plenty to talk about. Plenty to talk about. Two big cases coming down, and I'm hoping on Monday we're going to be talking to Ian Millhiser. If Ian's not available, we'll be talking to somebody else because we're going to hear more Supreme Court announcements tomorrow and on Monday. One is going to include a rather important case in terms of marriage equality. But let's talk about these two cases that came down today. The first being, of course, I'm of course very excited in the way that it was the ruling came down, but I'm going to miss talking about King V. Burwell.
I thought of you when I saw that news, and I felt just a sort of tinge.
You know, between Mila going away for camp for 2 weeks this weekend and King V. Burwell leaving our consciousness forever, there's going to be a void, but it's going to be a happy void. I mean, let's not get too far into it.
Partially.
We'll get to the reactions. All right. I'm just going to briefly cover the cases, and then we'll get to the reactions because the reactions are almost as fun. The, King v. Burwell, I think hopefully you're all familiar with this case by now. It was brought by a conservative legal group. And that's fine. That's what they're done. We know we've talked about the plaintiffs. The most recent, I think it was King, right? Or was it Helbig? This guy didn't even realize what the case was about. Most of these people didn't even realize what the case was about, but that's all fine. I really don't think that's too, I don't have a problem with that. But the bottom line was that these conservatives were bringing a case based upon four words in the Affordable Care Act law, which said that essentially an exchange established by a state is eligible for federal tax subsidies. And if it was the case that only a state exchange was eligible for tax subsidies, then in this instance, about 34 states whose exchange was run by the federal government, established by the federal government, would not be eligible for those tax subsidies. And the law, the whole scheme, would immediately fail, at least for the private insurance side of it. And millions of people would lose their health insurance. John Roberts, in his opinion, wrote what is really the most obvious response to that, which is, why in the world, if we are to divine intent of this law, right? Because if it was as simple as simply saying, you know, obviously there's some contention as to what the law means. And so our job is to divine the intent of this law. And if the intent of this law was to be that only states who have exchanges established by the state, as opposed to with the federal government. If that was the case, then they would have written a law that would not work from day one, and that makes no sense. So he writes, in this instance, the context and the structure of the act compel us to depart from what would otherwise be the most natural reading of the pertinent statutory phrase. In other words, sometimes common sense is actually not as a sophisticated and nuanced look as we need to navigate through the world. Okay? Yes, a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old, let's say, would read the law in one fashion, but a grown-up understands that sometimes things are fashioned and written in a way that they're not meant to be. And so we need to use grown-up brains. He went on to say, Congress passed the Affordable Care Act to improve health insurance markets, not to destroy them. If at all possible, we must interpret the act in a way that is consistent with the former and avoids the latter. Right. I mean, seems reasonable, right? Well, not if you're Antonin Scalia. Here are some of Antonin Scalia's responses to the ruling in King v. Burwell. He's so angry, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Words no longer have meaning if an exchange that is not established by a state is, quote, established by the state. Under all the usual rules of interpretation, in short, the government should lose this case, but normal rules of interpretation seem always to yield to the overriding principle of the present court. The Affordable Care Act must be saved. You know what I got to do is get my daughter to read these. Because it does sound sort of like this music's not working.
It's just basically like, whatever, fine, just keep it.
Today's interpretation is not merely unnatural. It's unheard of, said Antonin Scalia in his dissent. And the cases will publish forever the discouraging truth that the Supreme Court of the United States favors some laws over others and is prepared to do whatever it takes to uphold and assist its favorites.
Its favorites. That's great.
We should start calling this law SCOTUS Care.
Ooh.
Burn.
I was listening to Rush earlier, and that's what he said.
Burn. You got just, burned.
He should just start quoting it.
It's honestly, it does sound like I got to get my
this morning on Fox and Friends, there was this great point Steve Doocy made. Meh, 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 meh. That's like Antonin Scalia. He is just getting more and more honest.
Right. And then you're just going to have Dennis Miller come out and go, This is the way that you read the thing. Yeah. I guess we should understand it like it's hieroglyphics written on the side of Zarathustra's wall.
I didn't realize this was Derrida class at Sarah Lawrence. I thought what you read when you read. Baba, baba, baba.
All right, you guys, you have some editing to clean that stuff up.
Son of a bitch.
Well, you can keep that in, but I just don't want the
I'll keep mine
the downtime. All right, so we're going to get more into this. I mean, there's really not a lot more to say about King v. Burwell, frankly.
The Supreme Court was basically like, don't insult our intelligence.
Well, yes. However, there are implications that will reach centered around another case, the Chevron case, and the way that the executive branch has the ability to interpret as we dig deeper into these opinions. And I will save that conversation for an expert, but know that there's a little more to talk about in terms of the implications of this, and there's been a lot said, written as of late that this Supreme Court term, I should say, has been one where the left has prevailed more than one might anticipate. I'm seeing articles saying stuff like this is the most leftist term of the Supreme Court in ages. Understand that the idea that this case was even picked up was ridiculous. The idea that this was even granted cert, which essentially means that the Supreme Court is going to address it, is dispositive on its face, the argument that this is a lefty term on the Supreme Court. So just keep that in mind when you read these pieces. They address the question the right way, but they shouldn't have addressed this question at all. All right, let's talk about the Fair Housing Act case, because this is also really important, and it's going to have long-term impact in other areas. Right now, the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 to reject a case that was brought by the state of Texas. And the state of Texas was awarding tax credits for low-income housing in specific neighborhoods, specifically minority-dominated neighborhoods, but rejecting tax credits in white-majority neighborhoods. And they were justifying this by saying, well, we are following the rules of the Fair Housing Act. We're not being discriminatory in our intent. We're just following federal mandates, which govern the use of tax credits. Well, the argument that the Inclusive Community Project was making was the outcomes, the impact that your decision was having was discriminatory. You may not have had any discriminatory intent, although, well, all right, let's just, I'm not going to editorialize. Let's stipulate that you have no discriminatory intent. The impact of what you're doing is creating discrimination. And that is, if you only give low-income tax credits to developers in minority neighborhoods, essentially what you're doing is only having low-income housing in minority neighborhoods. I mean, it is creating, it's ghettoizing low-income people and hurting the ability into minority-majority neighborhoods and hurting the development opportunities there. Because let's face it, development comes to neighborhoods where there's money. And the Supreme Court agreed with the plaintiffs here that disparate outcomes, this notion that you can look at what the outcomes are here and see if it creates discrimination in some way or impacts a neighborhood in a different way, then you can actually consider that. Now, that is a long-standing principle that a lot of people felt was going to fall by the wayside because, well, let's face it, I mean, this is a right-wing court. This is going to have impact. Now, according to Kennedy, who wrote the majority opinion, this use of this dynamic of disparate impact, I should say, should be very limited and you should be very cautious in its use. But this could have implications for things like the Voting Rights Act, right? Where intent isn't necessarily addressed in terms of how a change to voting procedures should be judged in a case where the Department of Justice says there's discrimination here. And we'll talk more about this with when we recap this term of the Supreme Court. But the point is, these are both very good rulings. And a lot of people thought that this housing case was going to be the first attempt by the court to chip away at this concept of disparate impact, or that the idea that you could look at disparate impact as a way of judging whether or not there's discrimination. So this is good news. Very good news. Let's go back and take a look at some of the more sort of, I think, exciting responses to this day in the Supreme Court. Now, it's hard to parse out what cases they're specifically talking about, some of these conservatives. And we should tell you right now that as much as you're going to hear conservatives howling at the moon about King v. Burwell, understand, virtually every single Republican politician has breathed a huge sigh of relief today. And particularly in these swing states that would have been directly impacted. I mean, we would have seen the Senate and the Senate probably pass a fix, but the House would have been a disaster for the Republicans. They would have been fighting and squabbling, and the governors in these states that have not established their own exchange, they'd be freaking out, these Republican governors.
I mean, they really get it both ways. They win both ways. They get to, you know, Obamacare is upheld and they don't have to worry about that. And at the same time, they could go right back out there today and start complaining about Obamacare.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why, you know, Republicans have they are really at their best, because they're really at their best when they're in the opposition, because they can't really govern. They have no governing ideas that people will respond to. They're very good at the complaints. And so I don't know if we're going to see another 45 votes, 50 votes to repeal the Affordable Care Act. My guess is that Boehner knows that that's not something you want to do going into an election. But there has been a right-wing freakout. Michelle Malkin. I don't know if this was a poem that she posted? There's a YouTube. Is this a song?
I think it's lyrics from Anything Goes.
Oh, from Anything Goes. Okay. The world has gone mad today. I'm just going to read it as if it was a poem. The world has gone mad today. And good's bad today. And black's white today. And day's night today. Anything goes. Oh. Black really is white today. There you go. There is Michelle Malkin's response. Charles V. Payne, I don't know who he is.
Fox Business.
Who is he?
Fox Business guy.
You don't really know how to plug in the microphone still.
No, I did, actually.
Unbelievable.
I was giving them, all right. Fox Business.
All right, Fox Business. I brace for this decision by SCOTUS. Still shocked. Folks, country has fundamentally changed. Another giant step toward Banana Republic. Now, it's unclear to me whether or not he squashed two tweets into one. One of them was a response to the Supreme Court decision. The other was, I'm going to get a new shirt today. And just took, another giant step toward Banana Republic. Right? Because that, I know that Fox, those Fox studios right near a Banana Republic. Todd Starnes, who's he?
He's that Christian guy on Fox. I forgot what his
Right, yes. Good luck trying to find a doctor or a hospital to treat your grandparents.
Well, he's been going on a real tear. Obama, the law is working. Yes, the elderly cannot find doctors.
There you go. Now, understand, your grandparents are covered under Medicare. Okay? They're not implicated by the Affordable Care Act at all. The only potential difference is that for some of them, they were over Medicare Advantage was overpaying their providers by 15 to 20%. That stopped a couple of years ago. So if your grandparents who are on Medicare have been able to find a doctor since then, Todd, they'll be fine.
He's also blaming George Bush for Justice Roberts.
Good. Yep. Brian Fisher. Now, I know him. He's from that family council, right? Or he's from some right-wing social issues. He hates all gay people or something. He's the one who said that the Nazis were all gay.
Gay Nazi guy.
Judicial tyrant Roberts says Obamacare is quote unquote ambiguous. It was all caps, folks. What is remotely ambiguous about quote established by the state? ? quotation. Here is Wayne Allen Root. Who is Wayne Allen Root? Is he? Oh, he's the vice president.
He's
the Libertarian Party vice presidential candidate.
Yep.
Of course. Time to question Justice Roberts' decisions. Just like John Bonner. I now believe Justice Roberts has been blackmailed or intimidated.
Wow, it's like...
I think you better turn off my...
Double libertarian, like...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
That sounded even better.
I wonder what he thinks John Roberts has been blackmailed with. Very good. And... Well, Glenn Beck just quotes Scalia, so that's not much fun. We should start calling this law SCOTUS Care. Wow.
That is so lame.
And Ben Shapiro on June 25th, right? Why do you say this is an old one? Did he do this twice?
They replaced that one.
Yeah. They put an old one up at first. I think they replaced
it. Okay, well, here it is. Ben Shapiro. Words don't mean anything. Laws don't mean anything. The law is, apparently, whatever Obama says it is. What a bunch of nerds.
Oh, my God.
It really is silly. It really is silly that we're taking this much joy in how much of babies they are about this. But even their tweets are just sort of like, I don't know.
It's so much melodrama.
Right.
It's just like everything is like life, death, freedom,
well,
liberty.
Well, look, I got to say, in all fairness, if we had lost this case...
Yeah, but
if this case had gone the other way, I would be tweeting out things, but I would be either retweeting sort of arguments, right, or I just I don't know that I'd be, you know, I guess I'm trying to think of the show tune. It's a mad, mad world, right? Like it's black is white today. Up is down. I mean, oh, Lord. So good news. I mean, it's a good news for everyone today. I mean, except for, and, you know, let's be honest. The real loss for folks like Michelle Malkin at all is really the Texas case.
Definitely.
They're still in business. Godwin just IM'd me. When the IMs come in, sometimes I catch them out of the corner of my eye. You guys are taking too much pleasure in conservative meltdown over King v. Burwell. And then he puts in all caps, or she, I don't know. Stop shoving your schadenfreude down our throats, which, of course, is the... We got to go right into a... Should we even try one right now? A random rush?
Yes.
Or do you want to go into the fun
now? No, let's give it to the freebies.
Okay.
Oh, you want to give one to the freebies
today?
Let's
do this.
Wow,
yeah.
That's very sweet of you.
That is very generous.
Very generous.
I'm a generous.
We're going to be talking
guy.
About in the fun half of the program today. Jim Webb came out with a piece on his on Facebook about the Confederacy, which is really why Jim Webb, if he's actually going to run, is really going to go nowhere in the Democratic primary. I have some issues that he talks a great populist game and it didn't deliver as a Senate. And I'm saying this as someone who I think, I mean, we had him on when he was in the primary running against George Allen. And we had him on to promote his candidacy. But so years ago. And he talked a great game then. He talks a great game now, but he didn't do what he said he would, basically, in the Senate, it seems to me. But he also seems to have a problem getting over the Confederate War in some ways. But we'll talk about that in the fun half. Also, in the fun half, we're going to play this audio from Claire McCaskill. I think this is a huge mistake by the Clinton campaign. And for Clinton's sake, I hope this is the last we hear of this attempt. Frankly, I don't really care. I mean, it's going to – I think they're just making a big mistake strategically. And it – you know, one of the problems with the Clinton campaign last time was that it was – did some stupid things. And I have a feeling that we're not going to hear Claire McCaskill do that again. I have a feeling there's people around the campaign – that John Podesta is sitting around going like, ugh. Can we get Claire McCaskill to stop freelancing?
Definitely.
But we'll get into that in the fun half of the program, because it's going to be fun, ladies and gentlemen.
Always is.
Always is fun. All right. Let's see if Rush Limbaugh's on, and we can give people a little taste of random Rush today.
Is your soundboard going to work?
I don't know. Turn up the volume. Well, I can see that it's... I don't know now why it's not working. All right, we're going to have to fix it, I guess. In the...
Let's go to the second half.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break and head into the fun half. A lot of technical problems today. What are you going to do? A lot of mishaps, but still a very fun day. Folks, your support makes this show possible. We cannot attain this level of professionalism without your support. We apparently need to get a new iPad dock.
Dock.
And the proper phone number for our guests. Yada, yada, yada. It is your support that keeps this show alive. We make 98% of our revenue, 98.7 of our revenue, from members. If you have the financial means to become a member, please do. If you don't, and you want access to the fun half of the program on a daily basis, send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. We always make deals with people. We don't want to lock anybody out. But if you have the cash, you're already paying whatever it is, $400 a month for your cable bill or $200 a month. And you got that. When was the last time you read that, I don't know, that TNR subscription that you got? Or whatever it is. So if you have the cash, please become a member today at majority.fm. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code majority to get 10% off. Buy the Majority Report blend. It's great coffee. Supports the show. Supports a co-op. What more do you want? And if you buy crap from Amazon, buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. Also, give us a review on iTunes, number 646-257-3920. If you want to be a part of the show, 646-257-3920 to be a part of the program today. You can IM me. Pick up the app. It's free. Why wouldn't you get it? Honestly, why would you not get it? I can't hear you. I cannot hear you. I can't. I hear no one with an excuse of why they would not get an app.
What's that,
Noah? Noah, do you have the app? Oh, Noah has the app. That's why I hear nobody say why they can't get you. So if you don't have a reason, then go get it. All right, folks. Be right back after this. We're having a complete meltdown on my iPad. We'll be right back.